Okay, thanks. Thank you so much, Andreas. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about trouble and help, part two. And this is our conclusion this morning. As I said a couple of weeks ago, for those of you who have been Christians a long time, this is very basic. This is how you start off. This is something we learn early on, but it's a good refresher. And for some of you that are newer Christians, this is something that's basic that you need to know as a Christian. So we're going to look at this together. Trouble and help, part two. What is trouble? We talked about this. Just a quick reminder. Think of all the words that the Bible uses for trouble. In the Old Testament, the word trouble is usually used. In the New Testament, the word is often affliction, distress, tribulation, trial, burden, persecution, temptation. Okay, those words are often used. Very often in the New Testament, the word is temptation. That's the word that's used, and we'll talk about that a little bit more today. So it's common when we go through troubles, especially if they are longer, it is common to have questions about why we're going through trouble, right? Our questions are, why is this happening to me? Our questions may be, what did I do wrong? Our questions may be, why is God doing this? Have you ever heard Christians ask that question? Why is God doing this? Maybe you've had that question before. Maybe you've thought that or said that. But God's word has answers for all of these questions. James 1:5, just a reminder, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask God. And he's talking here very specifically about in times of trouble. And so James is really clear. Are you going through trouble and you're struggling with it? You're trying to understand. Ask God. But ask God sincerely and say, God, I want to know. God, I want to understand. God, I'm going through this. I need your help to go through this. And the Bible is very clear. If you ask him, he will give you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. So wisdom is not just knowledge in our head. Wisdom is here's what God says about it, and this is how to apply what God is saying in my situation. So that's really, really valuable. So I told you we had 3 points. We did 1 point last time, but we're going to go over the other two. The first point is it's 3 very simple basic truths about trouble and help. Number one is you will have trouble. I am so sorry to be so negative, or as we say, I'm sorry to be a negative Nelly, as we sometimes say, but you will have trouble. You are not going to hear me stand up here with a big smile all the time and say, you will overcome everything. You will always be on the mountaintop. Just name it and proclaim it, and you're going to go through trouble. And I say that because God says that in his word, okay? God says that in his word. And so whenever I say something, I want to give you some backup for it. Why don't we start with the words of Jesus, right? Who says it? Jesus, here we go, says, it's in John, recorded in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. And this was the night that Jesus was the Last Supper, he was betrayed, and he was going to go before Pilate. I want to say something as we keep on going this morning, but I really want you to get this in your hearts this morning, because we all go through really hard times, whatever our age, young people, children, older people, we all go through difficult times. And what I want you to see is this. Jesus talks the most about going through trouble on the night that he's getting ready to go to the cross. He spends more time talking about this than any other time in his ministry. In the three and a half years of ministry, here is this last night, and Jesus talks about those of us who follow Jesus going through trouble, which tells me logically and rationally in thinking about it, it's important. It tells me that Jesus loves me and wants me to know how to go through this. And it tells me that Jesus has wisdom for me going through this. And so we're going to look at that. And I want you to be encouraged by that this morning if you're going through some tough things. So Jesus says it first. Does somebody else say it? Yes. Apostle Paul. Here's the major writer of the New Testament is Paul. He wrote more of the New Testament. He was inspired to write more than anybody, any other writer in the New Testament. And Paul says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through. When you go through trouble, that is not the time to hide. When we go through trouble, that is not the time to run away from church, to put on a brave face and say, how are you doing? Fine. And inside you're just dying. Or you may be struggling with depression or something like that. Those are not the times to cover up. They're not. Those are the times to go to your church family and say, I'm having a hard time. I need help. Pray with me and pray for me. So Paul says that. Who else says it? James, the brother of Jesus. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when various troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Look with me. Now, you know, I used to be an English teacher. Look at this word right here. What is it? What is this word? When. What if James had said if? He doesn't say if. What does he say? Now, Stella's an English teacher, so I could ask her and she would say exactly the same thing, right? James doesn't say if troubles come your way. James, the brother of Jesus, says when troubles come your way. When troubles come your way. So they're going to come your way. Are there any others? Yep. There's the Apostle Peter. He says, you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. I've taught on 1 Peter before, but this all kinds of trials means every kind of trial, right? It can be sickness. It can be depression. It can be temptation. Any one of these things. And Peter says, you're suffering. You've had to suffer. What do you mean I have to suffer? I don't want to suffer. I thought when I became a Christian, everything would be great. Peter said, you've had to suffer. You've had to suffer as Peter himself suffered. And so there's the background. Now, here's the sub point. Jesus wants us to understand, even though you won't understand everything, what does Jesus say? He says, if the world hates you, keep in mind what? Hated me first. It hated me first. Brothers and sisters, may I give you comfort to your heart this morning? If you are suffering this morning, you are in good company. You're in the company of Jesus. How does that feel? You're in the company of Jesus. You're in the company of Jesus. And Jesus says, I went through this first. It's because of me. It's because of me. Notice again, this is the last night before Jesus goes to the cross. And then he gives us a little bit of understanding, even though we're not going to understand everything. What does Jesus say? I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling. Do you know what that word stumbling means right there? This word stumbling? This word stumbling, it can mean literally something happens and it trips you up. It can also mean to get upset and offended about something. How many of you, when you've gone through hard times, you've prayed, oh God, help me. You've prayed for your family. You've prayed for your health. You've prayed for your finances. You've prayed for your work and it hasn't changed. You get a little bit upset with God. God, I'm praying, right? God, why haven't you changed it? God, do something. And Jesus says to us in these times, I'm telling you now so that you won't stumble. Don't stumble. Don't stumble. What else does he say? He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In your trial and in your trouble, you will not find peace. But in Jesus, you will find peace. So that in me you may have peace. And I want you just to think about this for just a minute, because so often trouble drives Christians away instead of to right? It's really true. It's really true. We really, all of us struggle with this. And Jesus says, in me, I'm telling you, so that in me you'll have peace when you go through this. And so what Jesus is saying, don't distance yourself. Don't isolate yourself. Instead, come to me. Come near me. Come with me. You're going to find peace as you go through this. And then he says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I really like this word right here, overcome. Look at your shoes just a minute. Are any of you wearing sports shoes this morning? Anybody? Is anybody wearing Nikes this morning? Any Nikes in the house this morning? Okay, all the way back in the tech. Nikes. We've got OBS and translation wearing Nikes. Guess what the word Nike comes from? It's a Greek word and it means victory or overcoming, and it's the same word, it's the same root word as this word, overcome. Wasn't Nike smart when they came up with the name for their products? Overcome, victory as well. But what Jesus wants you to know is, take heart, I have Nike'd. It's Nikeo. Nikeo is the Greek. But what Jesus is saying, I have had victory, I have overcome also. And that should encourage you this morning. Now, that was not an advertisement for Nike. Adidas and Puma are great too, okay? And New Balance and Brooks and all of those as well. Don't run out and buy Nikes unless you want to. Let me read something to you right here. In this verse, John 16:33, let me read you the Amplified for this. For I have overcome the world. Here's the Amplified. I have deprived the world of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that encouraging? Let me read it for you one more time. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. You cannot conquer the world. The world is stronger than you are, because the power of the enemy is behind that. But Jesus has done it. And that's why Jesus says, in me you will have peace. Take heart. Come to me. I've overcome the world. Amen? Amen. So number one, you will have trouble. Does everybody accept that? Agreed? Okay. Let's go to the next point. The next point is this one. Trouble is never from God. Okay? Now, some of you say, I know that. Do you really know that? Because I often talk with Christians who've been going through trouble for a while, and they'll say things like this: I don't know why God is doing this to me. I don't know why. God must be da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And I want to say to you this morning, if you're thinking that and if you're feeling that, I want to be gentle with you, but I want to say to you, that's false teaching. That's false thinking. Trouble does not come from God. Now, stay with me and let me ask you a question. When you're around people, especially people who don't have a relationship with God, when good things happen to them, what do people say? What do people say? I'm lucky. I'm lucky. Have you ever talked to them? I'm so lucky. Oh, I that was my lucky charm. I chose the right number. This is my lucky color, or when I do this. How common, right? It's so common. Either I'm lucky or I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed, but they're not thinking it's God, right? It's just, I'm so blessed. I'm lucky, or wow, I'm pretty clever, right? But usually people will say, I'm so lucky. But something bad happens. Come on. Something bad happens. And what do those same people say? What do they say? What do they say? Why did God do this to me? Right? God did this. What is God doing? Why is God? That is so common, so, so common among people who don't have a relationship with God. And that's the way most of the world thinks. Something good happens, I'm really lucky. Something bad happens, God, why did you do that? So you're laughing, but you know it's true. You know it's true, don't you? That's so, so common. Now, why do you need to know that trouble is never from God? Because when you go through trouble, and you will, if you think God did it, if you think I deserve it, if you think I must have done something wrong, if you think God's mad at me because I haven't been to church very much, or I haven't paid my tithes, or I haven't whatever, oh, I did that, and so now God's punishing me. When we think, if we think those things, it is hard for us to go to the only one who can help us, God himself. And God wants you to know, I didn't bring trouble in your life. I didn't bring trouble in your life. Yes, but you know, Pastor, I deserve it because I did this. God did not bring trouble in your life. He did not. I'm going to give you some verses because I can tell from your faces some of you don't believe me. You're thinking, I can tell. Let me give you some verses. Are you ready? Here we go. Isaiah 54:15. Don't worry. I have some New Testament verses for you also. But here's Isaiah 54:15. Here's what God says to his people. That's Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we are his people. God says, if anyone attacks you, read it with me. It is not from me. That's what God says. If anyone attacks you, it is not from me. Now, I invite you to read that whole passage yourself, but let me read verse 17. This is that famous verse. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is what God says. Same passage through these verses, 15, 16, and 17. And if you really want to be encouraged, we don't have time this morning, but meditate on verse 17. I mean it. Take it into your heart. Take it into your life this morning. God says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Will there be weapons that are formed against you? Yes, there will. He doesn't say, no weapons, no weapons. He said, the weapons that are formed against you. Who forms weapons against you? Those people at work? No. Where do the weapons come from? Where does the evil come from? Where does the hatred come from? Comes from the devil. It comes from the devil. It always starts with him. It always starts with him. And God says, no weapon formed against you. Things are going to come up against you, but God says, they will not prosper, and you will refute any accusation raised against you. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, this is a picture of a courtroom, right? It's a picture of a courtroom. How many of you have ever felt condemned because you've done something wrong, right? Have you ever felt condemned? I blew it. I told God I wasn't going to keep on doing that, and I did it again. And so there are all these accusations that come against you. And God says, you will refute any accusation. How can you refute accusations? How can you stand against attacks of the enemy? It tells us in this verse, this is the heritage of the Lord's servant, and their vindication is from me. How can you stand against the attacks of the enemy? You're this. You're a sinner. You're this. You're that. Because God himself is there in the courtroom with you. God is there beside you when the enemy accuses. God is there when you say, oh, I can't believe it. I blew it. I wasn't going to lose my temper, and I lost my temper. Oh, I told God, God, I'm not going to do this again. And then I did it. And the enemy's standing right there, and he says, yeah, look at you, you're so bad. And God is standing there too. And God says, their vindication is from me. God says, you are the righteousness of Christ. Jesus has paid for it. He has taken the accusation. He has taken the blame. He has taken the shame. It came upon him so that it doesn't have to come upon you. You are vindicated through me. That's what God says. So if you are dealing with condemnation this morning, throw it aside. Throw it aside. God says, your vindication is from me. This is your heritage. This is your heritage. This is the Lord's declaration. You should be so encouraged by that. So it does not come from God, right? Trouble, let me go back one more time. Trouble is never from God, okay? So he says, it's not from me. You need a little more convincing. James writes, no one undergoing a trial should say, I'm being tempted by God. How many of you have ever said, God's tempting me? I'm being tempted. James says, if you're being tempted, tried, tested, going through trouble, don't say, I'm being tempted by God. Why? God doesn't tempt anyone, but it comes from us. I'm not going to look up the whole verse because I want us to go, we're going through this whole thing. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Here's Paul again. We all know this verse and this passage really well. Paul has been given visions by God. The visions were so wonderful. He saw, as far as we, from what we can understand of the Bible, God took Paul to heaven. He didn't have a near-death experience or a death experience, although Paul did at other times. That's not what Paul is talking about here. God took Paul to heaven. And he saw things that he said, I cannot even talk about these things. And then what does he say? So I would not exalt myself. You say, Pastor, hang on, stay with me. I was given a thorn in my flesh. By the way, how many of you have ever had a thorn in your flesh? Has anybody ever had a thorn in the flesh? Okay. So a real thorn in the flesh. How many of you, when you were young, played outside barefoot? Okay. It's amazing that I made it to my age now. I always went barefoot outside. I loved it. Even though we didn't have a lot of money, but I did have shoes, but it was more fun to play barefoot, right? And I'd play barefoot, and almost every week, do you know what happened in my house? At some point in the evening, Mom! By the way, it wasn't, dads don't do this usually, right? Who does it, Stephen? Mom does it because she has gentle hands. And Neil, who got the thorns out of your flesh? Dad or Mom? Mom. Right, moms do that. Moms, so let me say something. Moms, you're responsible for getting thorns out of the flesh of your children. Men are just a little bit too tough, I think. I'd rather have Mom. And Mom would get, you know what she got, right? I don't know what your mom's got. My mom got a needle, right? Yeah, and what? What is that? Oh, safety pin. Needles are sharper. Ouch. But she was so gentle. Every once in a while, ow, ow, ow. It was my fault. I still didn't start wearing shoes, okay? So now, all of us have had that. But Mom would always get it out. She'd always get it out, and with tweezers in the end if she had to. This is not what Paul's talking about, okay? It's not the little thorn in the flesh that you get from the briars or from walking outside barefoot. Do you know what this thorn in the flesh, do you know what the word is in the original, in the Greek? It's a word that means a stake, like a something like if they had a victim and they cut off the head, they would take the head and they would put it on the stake. That's what that is. And Paul says, I had this in my flesh, a thorn in my flesh. So whatever it was horrible. It was horrible. It would have been debilitating. It would have been life-changing. It would have been life-changing. I want to ask you something this morning. Some of you, are you going through things that are life-changing for you? You're going through trouble. You're going through hard times. You're going through things that are life-changing. Here's an example for you. And Paul said, this came to me, and it was what? A what? A messenger of Satan to torment me. A messenger of Satan. And this came, who did it come from? Did it come from God? No. It didn't come from God. You say, yes, but Pastor, it was given to me. It doesn't say that God gave it to him. Now, there are more explanations. We don't have time to go into all of that. But what I want you to see is this. It's a messenger of Satan. What is the word messenger used for in other contexts in the Bible? What's another word for messenger? Angel. So it is an angel of Satan. What is an angel of Satan? Give me another word. Demon. Okay, there you go. And so Paul says, in effect, that's how I read it. anyhow, because this word is used this way. I believe what Paul is talking about. It is a demon sent from Satan, and it torments him. Was it in his body? I don't know. Was it in his heart, in his thoughts? I don't know. All sorts of things. What is his eyesight? Was it his eyesight? We don't know. We don't know what it was, but what we know is this. Paul says, it was tormenting me. It was tormenting me. So I want us to see something here this morning. Here is the great Paul. Here's the great Paul and this trouble that's coming. How many of you feel that you are being tormented in some area? Yes? 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 It's from the enemy. It's from the enemy. It is not from God. Now, there's some the news is going to get a whole lot better in just a minute. Right now, some of you are saying, you mean I'm fighting demons right now? It's from the enemy, but there's some good answers, and there's some help. Some of you right now are struggling with, I've done something wrong, and it's my fault. Some of you are thinking, if I had stronger faith, this would not have happened to me. Now, there is a place for faith in the Christian walk that helps us overcome. But brothers and sisters, what I want us to see is this. Trouble is going to come to us, but it doesn't come from God. And what some of you are struggling with this morning is this. You feel like God's mad at me. I deserve this. My life hasn't been so great either. And so punishment is coming to me. Here is the answer for you. You ready? Isaiah 53:6. He writes about Jesus. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way. So are you feeling condemned this morning? Guess what? I've gone astray. The board has gone astray. Susan has gone astray. Amy has gone astray. Stanley has gone astray. All of us have gone astray. And Isaiah says, and the Lord has punished him, Jesus, for the iniquity of us all. If you struggle with condemnation, may I say to you that this is one of the most wonderful, encouraging verses that you could ever hold on to in the whole Bible. Did you go astray? Yes, you did. Did you deserve punishment? Yes, you did. But do you know what God did? God says, you deserve it, but I love you, and I'm going to put it on Jesus so that you don't have to carry it. That's what God says. That's what God says. Let me give you a New Testament verse as well. Romans 3:24-25. Remember what Romans 3:23 is? Remember? Famous verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then look, 24. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. So if you're struggling with condemnation because of trouble you're going through this morning, take to your heart, God's not mad at you. He's not punishing you because you've done wrong. Have you done wrong? Guess what? Jesus took the punishment 2 years ago. Have you blown it? Jesus took the punishment 2 years ago. Did you get angry and fuss at your husband or your wife this morning, whether in word or text? Jesus took the punishment 2,000 years ago. He took it all, and he paid it all. So God's not mad at you, even if you're going through trouble. What do you need to know? You need to know that in every trouble, in every trial, in every tribulation, in every sickness, in every weakness, in every temptation, there is the opportunity for transformation. Let me say that one more time. In anything you go through that is troubling you and testing you, there is the opportunity for transformation. Let me give you two or three scriptures, and I'll show you this so clearly in the Word of God. As you go through trouble, two are with you. The enemy is with you, and God is with you, right? The enemy is with you, and God is with you. Let me give you an example. Joseph in Egypt. Jacob the father dies, and the brothers think, oh no, now Joseph is going to get revenge on us because we were so cruel to him. We were so mean to him. And Joseph says, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? By the way, brothers and sisters, do you know what? Joseph, in fact, is an Old Testament example of Jesus for us. A beautiful, beautiful picture. And Joseph says, am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So here's this example in the Old Testament. We could say so much more. We won't this morning. I'm looking at our time, and we're going to get all the way through this morning. But here's an example. Let me ask you something. If you had gone through what Joseph went through, how many of you in your family, I really mean this, in your family, you have not been fairly treated? How many of you? Everybody, right? You've not been fairly treated. Guess what? The enemy intended it for evil. God intends it for good. Will you let God, will you work with God and let him work in you and transform you so that rather than staying bitter, rather than holding a grudge, rather than being angry, you let God work in you and bring forth good and life out of your life, out of your troubles. This is what God will do. This is what God will do. Let me give you another example. Dear brothers and sisters, when you experience troubles and trials, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be mature and complete, needing nothing. So here's God. Here's the enemy. You're going through this trial. Oh, the temptation is to do what? Get angry. The temptation is to hold a grudge. The temptation is to get bitter. The temptation is to get a revenge. The temptation is to doubt God. The temptation is to stumble. The temptation is to stay away from church and stay away from church friends and family. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Go through this. Go through this. And I am with you. Go through this. Go through this, and I will bring something out good out of it. We're not going to go all the way through. Hang on. How about 1 point a week, and we do last point next week? How about that? Give me 2 or 3 more minutes, and then we'll close. How many of you are good with numbers? By the way, you want me to go ahead and tell you what the last point is? We'll do it next week. You ready? This is next week. It gets really good next week. God always gives a way out of trouble. That's our point next week. So you've got it in a nutshell. But let's go back to this. How many of you are good with numbers? How many of you work in accounting? So Eileen over here. In fact, an accountant right over here. Let me give you an accounting word, okay? Dear brothers and sisters, when you experience various troubles and trials, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Are you ready for the accounting word? You can go ahead and start playing. Consider
is an accounting word. You say, it doesn't look like an accounting word. It is an accounting word. And consider means you look at that thing. May I simplify, because I'm not an accounting person, and you know numbers are not my thing. You know words are my thing. So here's this whatever that you're going through. Here's this sickness. Here's this trouble. Here's this trial. Here's this unfairness. Here's this difficulty. Here it is. All of us have it. You're facing it now. What are you going to do with it? And where are you going to put it? In simple accounting terms, you have the positive column and you have the negative column, right? Just two. Is it going to be a plus for you or is it going to be a minus for you? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. And James says, this trial, this trouble you're going through, consider it, count it, what? Great joy. Here it is. This is horrible. What are you going to do with it? Oh, God. No. You take it, and you know what you do with it? You put it in the positive column. You put it in the black column, not in the red. It's not a minus in your life, brothers and sisters. It is a positive in your life because your life is in God's hands and God will bring good if you will let Him. If you say, yes, God, I'll consider it as a good thing. I'll consider it as a good thing. Okay, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to consider it. I don't feel it, but numbers are not about feelings, are they? Consider it means I'm going to put it here. God, work it out. God, work it out. Consider it because God is going to do something good. Romans 8:28, it's not up here. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. Cancer. Unfairness. Betrayal. Consider it. Put it in the black, not in the red. Because God's going to work. God's going to do something. And if it's not good yet, God is still working. And if it's still painful, let God keep working. And if you don't have the answers yet, ask God. And let God give you wisdom. Shall we close together in prayer this morning? You may pray by yourself. Or you may pray with somebody who's near you this morning. If you want to just get near somebody or turn around, you may do that. If God has it on your heart, go pray with somebody. Chris, I don't know why you fell off that bicycle and broke your wrist and arm and smashed it up. Johnny, I don't know why your ankle got all smashed up. I don't know why you're struggling in these areas. I don't know why. God does. God can bring something good. God will bring something good. God will bring greater good than the difficulty that you go through at this time. And Lord, this morning, we pray for ourselves and we pray for our brothers and our sisters in this room this morning, or those who are watching and joining us online now, or when they're watching a little bit later, whoever you put on our hearts this morning, Lord, we lift them to you. We lift ourselves to you. And Lord, we
give ourselves to you and we consider it, what we're going through. We consider it, Lord. We take it and we put it in the black column. The devil has been trying so hard to get us to put it in the red column and to blame ourselves or to blame you or to stumble or to question or to give in to anger or fear or discouragement or depression. We're not going to let him win in our lives. God, we don't care if a messenger of Satan has come against us. You are with us. And you have put on Jesus everything, everything. And so we consider it. We consider it good. We don't understand it, but we choose. We choose. So, Lord, here we are. In all of our weakness, God, we confess this is a hard thing. This is a hard thing to do right now. And my flesh doesn't want to do it. But my spirit says, God, I choose you, and I choose your ways. I do lack wisdom, so I ask you, would you work? And just like Joseph, would you bring good? You intend good. You intend good. Like Paul, like Peter, like Jesus. Bring good out of my life. Bring good out of this trouble. Bring good out of this hard time. Bring good. Only you can do it. And I put myself and my situation into your hands in the black column, in the black column, for you to bring good, for trouble did not come from you. Good comes from you. You are good and you do good. Hallelujah. We receive good from your hand. We receive wisdom from your hand. Strengthen us, O God. You have overcome the world. Give us peace in you. Help us to overcome because you overcame for us. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. 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 Beloved, hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there. Next week, point three. God bless you. Don't forget, we're going to bless others. Have a great week in the Lord. We're glad you are with us today. Amen. Amen.